Wednesday night, Chavis Halavas. Okay, page Ayin Zion. We're really coming up to the end of Perek Hamishi, which really is the workbook, the how-to book of Bechina. Ayin Zion. We mashe roi lecha ochi shetovchan bo v'takrivo ikvos ha-chochmo el yona. Another area to apply Bechina to see Hashem's chochmo and that Hashem's running the world and things that are not that logical happen because there's someone in charge directing it. V'hashgacha ha'atzuma me'ito u'haskomas b'nei odom ala maso matan. Commerce, the economy, currency, right? The fact that people get together and they agree and they want to get rich, and you know, what makes an economy move? Because everybody wants to earn money, so they produce. That's what he says. People agree that things are going to be worth a certain amount, and that you pay for it, and then memela you produce things that people want to buy. Like, it's a nace. Hashem made a nace that this should happen so that people have things that they want because someone wants money and wants to be rich, he said. Because of the zod, v'shtadlusum laharbus mayam, hashgacha aleihem meis Hashem, kidei sheyeh v'kiyem inyonim. He says it's a nace because you can't eat money. Money is of no use to you. She says, like, everybody wants to have money, and they want to have a lot. In other words, we know why, but it's lachar mai, so we know why. But Hashem set that up so that the economy could run. If everything would be barter, so you would have to, maybe you could do it with computers, with eBay, maybe you could have barter all over the whole world. But if I need a container of milk, so I have to find someone that needs a pound of peaches. And if I don't find, and has milk. And if I don't find someone that has milk and needs peaches, I'm not going to have my milk. Right? And then, so, you know, money is magic. Because then I could sell my peaches and get money, then I only have to find someone that has milk and give him the money. I don't have to find someone that has milk and needs peaches. But money is useless. You could starve to death with $1 million all around you. Gold is useless. So it's a nice. Hashem made a thing that's intrinsically valueless. People consider it valuable. They want to have it. Memela, they want to acquire it. So they produce things so that they could have money, because then they could spend that money because the other guy wants money. But money is of no use to anybody. So he said, Hashem made the world so that it should work. It
sounds like a couple of people came up with a good idea to figure out how to solve a practical problem.
So he's saying it's an ace. Everything's a good idea. Hydrogen atom is a good idea. Everything Hashem made is a good idea. After Hashem made it, you say, wow, you know, that's really good. His point is that it's not logical, and it's you should see it as a chesed Hashem so that the world should function. Not everything is a lesson in the discovery seminar to prove Hashem's existence. He's saying you should be maketov to Hashem and see that Hashem's chokhmah in making a world that there's an economy. Yeah, you could explain it that it's man-made. You could explain everything that he talked about as man-made. He's not proving Hashem's existence. What's the matter with him? Okay, you don't have to get it. You could try. He's saying the fact that there's a system of something that's essentially valueless and people want to have it and acquire it and accumulate it and have a lot of it is a chesed Hashem so that the world can have an economy, so that people can have things. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. So Hashem set that up, that people almost irrationally want money and a lot of money even though it's of no use to them, and that what makes the world go round. They have no purpose. If a person's hungry or thirsty, all his money is not going to do him any good. So people should have rejected money and they should have made water. Oh, water! That should be money. Water! Right? Then you wouldn't need water because you have your own water. So you don't need that other guy's water. So then why should you produce what he needs to get water? You have your own water. You don't need his water. If you have a health problem, you can be surrounded by all your millions. Right? We know this. Rich people find this out. That all their ulcers that they get after they're busy accumulating money, all their money doesn't help them with their ulcers. Then the doctor says you have to drink tea and eat cottage cheese for the next 2 years. And then he has all this money and he can't even go to a restaurant. Apparently in the Chavis Halvavis' days they used metal for refuah. You find that in the Gemara too, that they used metal for refuah. But apparently gold and silver, ironically, which was the most valuable metal, was used the least in healing. And that's why people have money. Because people want to accumulate it. And they don't want to give up their money so fast. They want to have this thing called money. They save it. They have it. They want it. Even irrationally. Right? People have way more money than they need. Many, many people. You know, they like to have money. Tithus moment is beyond any use of the money. That's for sure. That's a given. If everybody had tons of money, he said, then no one would produce. So Hashem like made just the, he's not talking about paper money. He's not talking about man-made money. He's talking about that people decided that gold and silver, maybe copper also, we want to have that. Why didn't they say we want to have iron? We want to have stones. Then it wouldn't work. There's a lot of stones around. I wouldn't produce anything in order to get stones. Because I can get stones in my backyard. So there's diamonds and gold and silver. Hashem made that. Like it's only stones. And it's only metal. So Hashem said people should want this metal. And he put it into the world in just the right amount, that there's enough that it's available, and people who are diligent and produce and, you know, merits, they'll get money. It's there to be had, right? But if it would be too much money, we know what happens when there's inflation, so then money is worthless and people don't want to produce and they don't want to save because the money is worthless. So the economy works because Hashem made, just like Hashem made just the right amount of oxygen in the world and just the right amount of whatever, so Hashem made just the right amount of money in the world so that the world economy should function. And he says it's funny. So it's rare, but it's not too rare. Right? It's just the right balance of being a rare metal, not common like stones or iron or, you know, tin or whatever, I don't know, you know. But if it would be too rare, then it also wouldn't work, because then it wouldn't be available to be had. So it's mamish the right thing. And he says the balance between it's valuable, but it's utterly useless. It has no utilitarian purpose. That's also just the right thing. Right? In the Gemara, famous Gemara, the Churban Bayasheni, right? She took all her gold and silver and she was starving, Miriam Basbay, right? And she threw it out into the street and she was begging for a crust of bread. I talked to people who went through the Holocaust, right? They took all their money, right? Nothing, zero. They realized it's of no intrinsic value. Lefishem Bram Toelis Biatzman. So in this paragraph he said the world economy, the money, masa umatan, the fact that people, this whole system of money and people produce, but they want money, and there's a certain amount of money in the world, just the right amount, and people consider it valuable and they want to accumulate it, and it spurs them to produce because they want to be rich, they want to have money. So that's a chesed Hashem that you should realize exists, and that you should use the powers of Bechina on that. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll learn Mishnah Berurah.
I got another one of these things that makes no sense, but kids going to school.
What do you mean, that they go or that you
go.
Send them?
That they go.
They go because you'll smack them. School is not, I don't know if that's a Hashem thing. The Gemara says that's a person. People made that up. Hashem wants every parent to.
People made up money.
The Gemara says that the way it's supposed to work is that a father should educate his son.
So he changed. He made up today that there's schools.
Why? Hashem, what's the Tova in the school?
Well, the Tova in the school is with no one Torah. I mean, like, that's.
Well, that's
but
what
the kids go to school is why should they? Because we say every day, and every come on, every one of them goes every day.
It's okay, funny. You
I mean, if one day they all got together and said none of us would go.
There was a cartoon strip in the New York Daily News. You don't even know what the New York Daily News is, probably. But there was a cartoon strip there in my days called Dandy. Remember Dandy? You know Dandy? I don't even know who it was. So all Dandy, he was an Italian kid. So all the kids got together. It was like a sarcasm of Women's Lib. And all the kids of the neighborhood got together and they declared Kids Lib. They said they're not going to school anymore, they're not listening to the parents anymore. Kids Lib. And it was like very cleverly done that you saw the sarcasm. Rather, I got a call from someone today, not from the shul, lives in a certain... It's funny you should say that. I got a call from someone. No, listen, someone called me up. And I have to hide all the particulars. Some people here might know who he is. Because he has no money. That's nothing new there. And he's going to be in America because he can't afford tuition. Because he wants to teach his kids himself. He wants to homeschool them at home. It's a terrible idea. Why? First of all, you have to know the guy. Second of all, I said, Lemaisa, you have money. You have money for rent? Yeah. However you're getting money for food and for rent, get money to be mechanech your kids too. Probably the worst idea you could have is to keep them home and teach them yourself. Yeah, it's true. A parent theoretically can do 1,000 times better job than a school, but it doesn't happen. But to homeschool your kids, yeah.
Because the Israeli school system is so good.
Theoretically, it's, you know, like I said, that's the way the Torah wants. The ideal system is to homeschool your kids. That's the ideal. School is like a b'di'evet because they had to have schools. Because you read the Sadoros.
The Gemara
says, Yeshua Ben Gamla was Masak in schools. You were Masak in schools because parents were becoming Amaratzim. And they weren't able to be in the parents of the kids. They weren't able to teach their kids. So you institute school. But once you make a school, what? It's Moran Baba Basra.
It says because of Somi.
Because the fathers were not capable.
It says it was because of Somi, because of a few Yechidim that couldn't learn, couldn't teach the kids. So they made a whole
It says because parents were becoming not capable. But obviously it started with Yechidim, I guess.
So, I thought it just said it's because of the Yosemite. This is a hotel. Why? For a few kids who aren't.
No, that's why they. Yosemite, they made schools for the Yosemite. We'll look it up in Bubba Basra. Your kid davened very nice Meyer tonight. Okay, Kufnun Gimel. We're learning Kufnun Gimel. We're learning about the din of Milan Bakodesh Vein Moridin. You're talking about things with Kedusha. And if you sell items with Kedusha, you could only move up and buy things with a higher level of Kedusha. But you can't, if we would end up, let's say, we finally bought an Aron Kodesh, beautiful Aron Kodesh, and then we would sell that Aron Kodesh. So you wouldn't be allowed to buy, we're using that as an Aron Kodesh. I mean, I don't know, whatever. Whatever. It's an Aron Kodesh. So you wouldn't be allowed to sell it and buy, you can't go down. You couldn't pay for the shuls. You shouldn't. You would not be able to pay Meikar Adin. There's enough loopholes that you could, but the din is that you wouldn't be able to. Let's say you wouldn't be able to pay for the ceiling of a shul, because a Beis Knesset has a lower kedusha than an Aron Kodesh, so you wouldn't be able to do that. But you would be able to buy Klausen, for example, because that's a higher level of kedusha. No, I'm not talking about mitzvah the need. I'm talking about it's a higher level of kedusha.
The person who buys it can do what they want.
That's a separate issue, which we're not dealing with. We're dealing with the money that's produced from there. That it's Milan Bakodesh Vein Moridin. Again, there's a lot of loopholes. Any organization that has either a board of directors, which is probably the equivalent of Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, like someone in that there's elections and they run the affairs of this Mosa, or a Rav, like any central authority figure. So there's always a loophole that whoever gives money and donates anything does it al das, that ultimately they can do with it what they want. And I'm really jumping the gun. We're going to learn that in a later sif. Okay. Sif Gimel. We're up to Sif Gimel. Sefer Torah shenim to botos dino kuchumashim. Okay, the level of kedusha is kibin shen korim bo avol bishayev shel asakno. So the ma'isa, some say that this sif gimel is only they found the toos that was there originally when it was written. But if it was once had Kedusha Sefer Torah, and then a Tot was developed, it does not go down in its Kedusha to the Kedusha of Chumashim, but it retains its Kedusha Sefer Torah, assuming it's Efshel Asakno. Okay, Siv Dalit. So till now we have Milan Bakodesh Vein Moridin, which obviously leaves open the question, what about lateral Kedusha?
Efshel Asakno, but the Tikkun would cost more to buy a new Sefer Torah.
That's okay, that's not the issue. The issue is it's Efshel Asakin, it retains its Kedusha.
Okay, even so, we were talking about
an
old Sefer Torah that people
would sell. Wait. Yeah, so the money couldn't be used only to buy another Sefer Torah. According to these rules. Again, so if you have the loophole, you have the loophole. But according to the rules, you can only buy another Sefer Torah with it. Okay. Now, see, we said Milan Bakodesh Vein Moridin, and then whoever learned the fourth Perek Megillah, or according to some Rishonim, the third Perek Megillah, what about the equivalent Kedusha? And with the Liknos, but to make, I'll say, but to say, for Tyre, you can buy the equivalent Kedusha. And the answer the Gemara gives is because there's no Eitzah. There is no up. And with the Liknos, but to make Kedusha Achas, Kedusha Achas, Kayotzebo, guess what? Yesh Osrim, Yesh Matirin. That's a surprise. Mishnah Berurah of Kotan Tes, Kayotziba, Dainu Shemachru Beis Akneses Yishana, Veroitzu B'Domeh Alika Chadasha. You want to use the money for a shul? You're not going up. I will be doing Marid and Gamke. I have to admit, I never understood that, by the way. Why should there be a hakpoda that you have to be Maila B'Kedusha? Like, what's wrong with getting the same Kedusha? We're not talking about an Isser to sell it. We're talking about you sold it validly. Either you sold it already. We're not dealing with if there's a problem selling it. We're talking about the transference of Kedusha. I don't know. I still don't understand it. Why should there be a problem to just exchange it? Amal reading, you know, we all understand that. But why should you have to dafka be Milan? I don't know. I never saw
it. Yeah.
This is the Tzad in the Gemara. This is the Gemara's Chakira.
No, I'm saying it's a Shaila Imam.
In the Ikar Dika. No. It's a Shaila if Milan Bakodesh is dafka Milan and not the same. The phrase is Milan Bakodesh Vein Marid. The Gemara Megillah wants to know which is dafka. Dafka Milan or dafka Ein Marid? Which is the Hakpada? Or maybe both, obviously. No, it couldn't be both, because if there's a hakpada on Milan, then Ein Meriden is lav dafka, because Ein the same either, right? So I don't know. I still don't know. I mean, once you sold it, so it's a bezoyon unless you move up. I don't know. I really, okay. A lot of things I don't know. That's one of them. The whole shaila arises. This is another thing I don't understand. The svara of what the Mishnah Berurah is about to say. It's a Gemara. But he says, dafka if you could move up. But a Sefer Torah, you can't move up, so certainly you could stay the same. Now, I don't understand that either. So you stop. I don't know what I want to do, but would you let... Since when is you have no Eitzah, let's say Ein Moridin. So it's a Zilzal. What?
If you have no choice, it's not Leib Zayin. Like, what should I do? What am I choosing to do?
I don't know. The Zayin. Okay. Okay. It's a Bezoyan. Why? So again, I get... To me, that just makes the question stronger. What's the bezoyon in staying the same? It just deep to me. It strengthens the question of what's wrong with staying the same. You shouldn't have sold it.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like using it or it's using it like bartering. In other words, it's not to use it to knowledge about something higher.
But you might. But it's. That would be a good story, but it's not really connected. You sold it because it was getting old. Like, you didn't... Now the question becomes what to do with the money. You know, the context of the question, what to do with the money, is not connected with the sale of it. You're selling it because it's broken.
Except that afterwards people might say, like, I remember what that used to be before he took the money. That used to be the same thing.
Okay, listen, if it's Madurabanan, you can say these stories, I guess, but there's a Sadni Achrenim, it's Diaraisa. Okay, I hear. V'yesh matirin, kibin al koponim e'marinim v'kdushasa. Oh. V'chol zeh linyan d'yevet, once you sold it, but you're certainly not allowed to sell it, av'l linyan l'chatila, osu linkot d'mshav v'kdusha g'lech v'yetzi boy. V'afilu lecha d'lecha l'mekash v'kshiyusa, there's no question. I'm sure the thing's ready. You're going to buy it right away. Afilu hachi also the tzach lalos b'kedusha dafka. Now, then he says if it's broken a little, b'mchazu beitiyu adover ra'ua, or it got too small, you know, you have to move up in the world. You want to make an... So what is he talking about? He says, you're certainly not allowed to go l'chatchila. So, I mean, the only thing I can think of that he's saying is also is to buy a nicer one. But to me, that's also what's wrong with buying a nicer one. He said like this, if it's a little broken and you want to get a better one, you want to upgrade. Everybody wants to upgrade, right? want to upgrade. You want to get version 4. You have Aron Kodesh 3. You want to get Aron Kodesh 4. I don't know. So was that? So I saw here. So the middle of the Mishnah says, he says, you're certainly not allowed to lechatchila go sell a Dovah Shebikdusha with the intention of just replacing it with another. Lechatchila. The Shaila in the Shulchan Aruch is that once you did it, once you sold it, what do you do with the money? But to go, like who said that's for? Like just make an exchange, that's like taka, you shouldn't do it lechatchila. Then he says, but if it's a little broken or it's too small and you want to get a bigger one, so then it's okay. So I'm saying, what about if you want to get a nicer one? Oh, so wait. Oh, the Mishnah Berurah will talk about it soon. Okay. Because of Ataz. Does Manenu want to write in Harbi Moichim Sforim? But wait, Kim Acherim B'demeyan. Near the Achshu B'tchilek, Shekhoina HaSefer, Yedat Alekach, Shia Goy Kolzman, Shiyot Storech Lo. He says, the person who was Magdashit Lechatchila, we saw before, we're going to have constantly in this simon, we're not talking about objective Kedusha. Stipulations always help. Right? We're not talking about the Kedusha, let's say, that says you're not allowed to, you know, be mezalzel in it, like you're not allowed to treat it with lack of respect. We're talking about like a Kedusha like you find, like man-made Kedusha. Like you Magdash something. So that's why throughout the Siman stipulations help. Like here's a perfect example. The Mishnah Berurah says, we see people are always, shuls all over the world, are selling things and buying new ones. Still, because apparently when they buy it, there's an unspoken stipulation that they're buying it. And if they get a nicer one, here he says, Yaser Yafin. If they get a nice one, you know, you buy a... I remember Philadelphia Yeshiva. They put out a new Stechemet. Now it's not the new Stechemet anymore, because we're going back 35 years. 40 years. Yeah, 40 years. So they put... The Stechemet used to be an unusable word. Stechemet was the first encyclopedia Talmud. Like an encyclopedia. Totally unusable. No index, no table of context. Just like a huge, massive, multi-volume work about every topic under the sun. Then one year, they came out with a new Stechemet. And the 10th volume was a complete index on the other 9 volumes. So it's like the new tours, right? Can the shul sell its old tour to buy the new tour? I don't know. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. Like, is he saying you could? But he's saying only because of the stipulation. It's funny. So this is what he's saying. When he talked about there was a little broken or you needed a bigger one a few lines ago, he didn't say because there was an automatic stipulation. He just said that's a valid reason to go sell it and replace it. And that would be okay. But when he talks about just a Yoser Yafer, so I don't know. Wait, let me first finish the thought. So then he says it's an automatic stipulation. But now I'm thinking, like you take something like the new Menchas Chinuch, or the new tour, or in Philadelphia, so I sold off the old Stechemet. It was a, you know, all institution. There's no money. No money. You can't buy the new Stechemet. You have to buy the new Stechemet. It's like saying you're not going to buy the new tour because there's no money. Hey, you're not going to buy the new tour. You're not going to buy a Shapsi Frankel Rambam. Come on. So I made an auction and I raffled off the old Stechemet for a quarter. And I sold everybody in Yeshiva, everybody bought it. Who's not going to spend a quarter? You got a whole set of Stechemet for a quarter. Then you chap, it's unusable. And you're stuck with this like 20 volume thing. But you got, it's a quarter. It's a quarter. So I sold everybody a quarter. I ended up making money. I mean, it's a storm. I was in charge of the storm in Philadelphia. So I auctioned off the old Stechemet. And then we bought the new Stechemet.
For
a raffle ticket. You think you guys thought of it? With the sweepstakes, I was first. I sold for a quarter. So somebody, and then by the Mlava Malka, I sold it in 1 week. And then by the Mlava Malka, we auctioned off the grand winner, and I had a quarter from like 150 guys in yeshiva. So you do the math. I don't remember. And then I bought the new Steichemet, and we had money left over.
Okay, but what about a?
But I want to finish the thought. The Mishnah Berurah talks about two. I would say something like the Steichemet. You don't need the Mishnah Berurah's lumdus of an automatic stipulation. I would call that unusable. Maybe with the tour, you would call it Yoser Yafeh. You would call it Yoser Yafeh. When he's talking about Yoser, really, logically, we wouldn't even think twice. Saying, of course, you could sell it and buy a nicer one. Okay, and really, the Mishnah Berurah is working out that that's true. He's just working out the technicality of it, that there's an automatic stipulation when you bought the old one that you're going to have it as long as this is, till the next version comes out, and you're always going to upgrade. Right, so that's really, he's working out, they should always be allowed to do it.
Yeah. But what about the Aron Kodesh?
The Aron Kodesh,
can we sell this Aron Kodesh to buy the new Aron Kodesh?
Now, if you're talking about this one, so this one's certainly no problem, because we lechatchila raised money for the one we don't have yet. And this was always put in place as a temporary, this is like really no problem, because this was always put in as a temporary stopgap measure till we get the one that we
so
were always going to get. What?
It had this loophole built in.
Yeah. Like mamish, but like, not even as a loophole, like it was real. Like it was really true. It wasn't just a loophole. But let's say a shul, I mean, this is my son b'chol yom. A shul is growing. They start off in a garage, right? They start off in someone's garage. And they get a makeshift Aron Kodesh, right? And it has Kedusha. And then as they grow, they keep upgrading, right? And it happens countless cities across America, I'm sure. In Eretz Israel, you start off in a bomb shelter, you start off in a parking lot, right? And then, I guess, so you'll always need this loophole. I mean, the loophole's always true. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. It's not a loophole. Maybe it's stronger than a loophole. It's true. You buy it, and you always have in mind that you're going to upgrade when the time comes. So therefore, you could do it lechatchila, because it's a stipulation from the beginning. But I wonder with Svarim, let's say you buy a Rashba. Sometimes it wouldn't even be so poshut. You buy a Rashba. Then they come out with a new Rashba. And you really have a big cheshek to buy the new Rashba. But, so you want to sell the old one. But, you never really anticipated that there would be a new Rashba. Like, they came out with a new, the Minchas Chinuch. I saw the catalog of Machon Yerushalayim. They're having,
not this one, though. New one.
Yeah, a Madura, Murcheves, Matukenes. So I have I want to buy it. There's no money in the till. I would sell this off cheap. Add another $10, what is it already? And get the new version. So,
make a
raffle. No, but I'm saying if you're allowed to. Without some loophole, you're not allowed to. That's the chiddush. You're not allowed to. Yeah, because we're used to, especially when you're computer savvy, so you're used to new versions always coming in. You could sell off your Bar Ilan Shut 16 because it's going to be a 17 in another in a Konami. He says a private safer is not a problem because a private individual is at least like Shiva Tuve Ha'ir, so that's not a problem. And again, like here, everything's bought al Daz Jonathan Sasson. He's meanwhile he's the librarian, so everything's bought al Daito. Okay, let's go to the Maisa. Okay, let's see the Bir Halacha. Bir Halacha says that the Halacha is that it's mutter to buy the equivalent. He brings out a machlekes what the halach is. That does us a lot of good. In V'yesh Matir, the Prima Gadim says we paskin mutter. The Miri says rov gonim sovrim the tzorich ilui dafka. Okay, on a practical level, these things, it's rarely nogeya. I mean, maybe it is, Like I said, the shul's on the east side, it was like, the truth is, that's why, you know, we laugh at this amuta business, but that saves you a lot of halachic grief. Because when there's an amuta, that's the equivalent of the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, and everything is done al daitam, and you don't have any, you have no halachic problems once there's someone like officially in charge of all the affairs of the like your former amuta. So it's really like, it's a good thing. It's not a joke. It's halachically a very good thing to have. Okay, not just have it like haphazard. You know, you go with the flow. Sometimes that's a good thing. For these halachas, it's good to have. You avoid a lot of issues if you have an amuta and someone official in charge. Okay. Sif-hei. Let's learn another sif. Im gavu mos lignos beis ha-knesses or beis ha-medrash. Oh, let's say you collected money for a purpose and then could you change your mind? Im gavu mos lignos beis ha-knesses. I'm sure this can happen. It can happen in the shul, right? They collect money, they say, we're putting in an air conditioner, we're putting in a ceiling. And then they say, you know, they decide after the money is collected, we have a better use for the money, maybe the electricity, maybe to pay up chayvus. In global most windows based on knesses or based on medrash, or liknos teva or mitpachos, I say, for Torah, for rotsu l'shanosa, l'tzorech masher govu olsom, ein mishanim, well, element kusha kala lachamura. Also, you can only move up. But here, in contrast to what we learned yesterday we learned if you sold something and you used the money for what you intended to, Mylan Bakodesh, and there was leftover money, so the leftover money is also Mylan Bakodesh. But here, when you only collected money, we're not dealing now with the very fact that you could change it. We're going to see that in the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, who's in charge of changing the intended use. But who's in charge of changing the intended use? We're not going into that. But here is another application of Milam B'Kodesh Vein Moridim. Because we had, if you sold something with the money, if you sold something and there was leftover money, and now we're saying if you collect money, that's also only Milam B'Kodesh Vein Moridim. So that's another application of Milam B'Kodesh Vein Moridim. If you collect money and you validly decide to change its usage, we'll see like what makes that valid. But the point that we're learning about now is that you can only move up. It's also a case of money. But here, if you moved up and you had leftover money, so here where the money was never at this level where you collected the money, then if there's leftover money, you can do whatever you want with it. So you collect money to, this happens, right? I'm sure they don't like to talk about it, but when they make these Sefer Torah writing campaigns, they raise way more money than the Sefer Torah cost. So that's what we're learning now. So we'll put aside the issue of Yikuk. Assuming it's all kosher, the Etzem changing and the Etzem fact that it doesn't cost so much, assuming that's kosher, so we're learning now that as long as the usage is done, then the leftover money you can do whatever you want with. You don't have it's not limited by Milam B'Kodesh Vein Moridim. Okay.